This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Friday. We made it, and been an exciting week. We have lots to talk about today. Denise Quinn is our guest host today. Thanks for coming back today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate it very much. Brent is off having fun with his son.
Oh, good.
Three ballparks in 5 days.
Wow.
And a couple of museums in between.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a special graduation present.
He deserves some time off.
Yeah,
the guy works hard.
He works hard. Yeah. Also in the studio today is Representative Denise Boyles from House District 19. What do you shake?
Rep Bowles.
Did I say it wrong?
Welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, HD19. She's my representative, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Representative
Denise Bowles.
You looked at me
Denise
like
Bowles.
I said your name wrong. Did I say it wrong?
You said Boyles instead of Bowles.
Oh, I'm
people
sorry.
Do that.
I apologize.
I think they carry the Y in my first name into my second
name.
Oh,
I wonder. Yeah.
It's fine.
Because you have a unique spelling of your first name. Because I'm
crazy.
A Denise, and I've got the standard old boring run-of-the-mill spelling of Denise. And Denise has got this wickedly amazing cool spelling of her
she
name.
She does have a cool spelling in her name. I apologize. I didn't mean to do that. I did write it out that way, too. I put a Y in the last name. So
no problem.
Why.
So it is good to have you here because, oh my gosh, there's some stuff going on at the Capitol.
Yeah, Denise, it has been a dramatic week.
Yeah.
To say the least.
So for those of us who are on the outside looking in, it's been... what's the adjective I want to use? Maybe insane, crazy, exciting, strange, weird. But what's it like being on the inside? Because you're still at work.
I am. Yeah. So those of you who, I don't know, may not be aware, the Senate Republicans walked out 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And just the things that have led up to that really started probably, well, it's been going on all session, mm-hmm. but it's really been hitting a fever pitch in the last week. Late last week, House Bill 2020, which is the cap and trade bill that currently has over 100 amendments on it, has been discussed, debated, worked. It is a very, very expansive piece of legislation that will impact really the state of Oregon in some very serious ways. So there's been a lot of really great work going on and negotiations and talking through things and how are we going to get to a place where you have some buy-in from all, you know, from the industries that are going to be affected, from the working families that are going to, their costs are growing up. There's a lot to consider. Anyhow, there was a set of amendments or an amendment that was proposed in Ways and Means last week. And towards the end of the week, Senator Betsy Johnson, these weren't necessarily her amendments, but they were called the Johnson amendments. Mm-hmm. Who's a Democrat from in the Senate. Mm-hmm. And she was effectively tapped out of the committee, and Senator Courtney came in and took her place, and the House Bill 2020 moved out of committee without those amendments on a purely partisan vote and came to the House floor Monday morning.
Yeah, and so then from there, it was in the House, so there was long, I mean, that was a long, was
yeah,
it a record setting?
I felt like record setting.
Yeah.
We debated that, started at 2 Monday afternoon for 6.5 hours.
Wow.
And we've talked about before on this show, there's not a lot of tools in our Republican toolbox in the House. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you feel like you've shown up for a gunfight with a water pistol.
Mm-hmm.
But man, we use that water pistol to the best of our ability.
It was
on Monday.
A super soaker.
And you know, but at the end of the day, the bill passed.
Yep.
36 votes. Two Democrats voted against it, and all the House Republicans voted against it.
So then from there it moved on, and at that point that it, moving over to the Senate, that was at that point that decision was made then.
Yeah. So every day, quite honestly, Denise, feels like 1,000 years. I think of the scripture on that often, because so much happens every day that it feels like, oh, that happened 3 months ago, but really it was yesterday. And anyhow, so on Wednesday, They were negotiations, they were conversations, trying to amend the bill to make it so it didn't have quite the destructive effect, especially on our rural Oregon industries and economies that it's going to have. And that morning, there were hundreds and hundreds, there's a convoy of truckers and loggers and supporters coming in from all parts of the state. And it was one of the best moments personally that I've experienced this session, because I mean, these are our people, these are our Oregonians, and they came just to fight for their livelihood and for their families. And so it was a great rally. And in the middle of all this, the Senate was negotiating, from what I understand. And anyway, got word late that night that they have left the building and left the state.
And my understanding was they were asking for the Johnson amendments.
Yeah.
And then they also wanted the emergency clause removed.
Right.
And that was it.
I believe, you know, some version of the Johnson amendments. Yeah. I don't think it was anything much different than what has been discussed. But the biggest piece of this, I think, was the trigger was the emergency clause, which basically, for those listening that don't know, puts the bill, or puts a piece of legislation that you can't refer it to, you can't weigh in as voters.
Yeah, which I think part of that rally, everybody coming to the Capitol, which was kind of working down around in that area, was something really to behold. Can't even imagine what it must have been like being on the inside seeing that. But people coming down, and it's really disheartening to see people coming down who are the backbone, the lifeblood of the state of Oregon, begging for their jobs.
Yeah.
That's an awful optic. It should not be in this state.
Well, and not to have them really considered in this legislation. Yeah. I mean, and it's not, you know, I represent Salem and rural Marion County. Mm-hmm. And we have agriculture in our community. We have a lot of my district is suburbs, but this will affect all of us. Mm-hmm. It affects the cost of goods and services. When you add a 22 cent per gallon increase in your gas, that's extraordinary, and that will make everything at the very minimum, it's 148 pages, and we don't have time to talk about it all, but it is a big hit, and there are no clean jobs or even vehicles to replace the
diesel engines
and all that, because they're in process, but we don't have the technology to meet the demands of this legislation.
And then when they even admittedly say it's not going to make a dent in anything, and it's really just to sort of encourage and spur other states to join in.
Yeah,
obliterate an economy for that?
0.06 percent impact on the global emissions, and the cost is so great that we can take measures and we can move towards some really good environmental goals that I don't have any issues with, as long as they're rooted in the reality of the world that we're living in.
Somebody stepped in, it might have been Representative Hayden, somebody brought up the mental health issues, and you kind of harkened back to the early 90s with the spotted owl, and when timber communities were just decimated then, and then you talk about substance abuse and destroying families and livelihoods, and I thought that was very poignant, and I was glad he brought that up, because that doesn't, in the dollars and cents and everything else, the human cost of this.
I mean, there's more than just you lose a job that has, I mean, there's been, in fact, I actually gave a floor speech on that day on the same very issue, on the increase of opioid use and substance abuse in the connection to unemployment.
Yeah.
So here we are. The Senate is gone. The House is still working with what we have to do. So I imagine we will wrap up the bills that are on our agenda here in the next couple of days, Monday, Tuesday of next week. Mm-hmm. And if the Senate doesn't return or the governor doesn't find them,
then it's over.
It's over. Everything that's currently in committee, everything dies. And if we get called into a special session, then the process starts over.
Yeah. Everything is back on the table.
They're talking July 2nd to do that.
Yeah, that's the threat.
There's a lot of threats going on.
Yeah, I bet. All right. We're time for a break.
Well, thanks for coming
in. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Good to get a little bit of an update on what's going on inside. So HD 19 Representative Denise Bowles, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for stopping in. Denise Quinn is our guest host today, and we have another guest coming up, and we're going to talk a little more, of course, volcanoes on Newsmakers from 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent is off today, and our guest host is Denise Quinn. And we have another special guest in the studio
today. We do. We've got great guests today. Joining us today is Raquel Moore Green, who is a current member of the City of Salem Budget Committee. And she's here today to kind of talk to us all things money, revenue, everything to do with the City of Salem, because she knows that stuff. She sits on a budget committee, which I could never in a million years do. So, Raquel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Denise. It's and good you to too, have Dave. You.
Thank you so
it's
much.
Good to be here.
So, the mayor, he was here Tuesday and was talking about the shortage that the city is coming into, and how it would like double 10 years down the road. And you guys are trying to rein it back a little bit without cutting back too many things. What's going on with that?
Correct. So, a little background there. As a member of the budget committee, we were presented a budget by the city attorney, or no, pardon me, city manager, Steve Powers. And within that budget this year, in order to balance the budget, they dipped into their capital reserves of by $4 million. In addition to doing that to balance the budget, they cut some programs also. And that's I think, you know, has been the for me personally as a budget committee member, the place where I kind of stopped this year, and I started to reflect on we've been talking about this cliff for many years because we've seen it coming. I mean, and it's a PERS issue. I mean, we have a liability, and the city has a liability, and they need to pay that liability, and in order to do that, it's just really cutting into you know, money. The tax base just is not large enough to cover that.
I talk about somebody was saying we've sort of been running along the cliff, running along the edge of the cliff for a number of years, and now we've kind of done a sharp turn and we're really at the edge.
We really are.
Budget committee, though, who makes up the budget committee? Who are the people on that committee?
Yeah, so the budget committee is made up of all the city councilors and the mayor, and so that's nine people, along with a representative, a citizen representative from each ward, and then one at-large member. And so I've had the privilege of being the citizen representing Ward 3 for the last 6 years. So I'll actually be rolling off. I had the privilege of two three-year terms.
So you really have seen this coming down the pike then after 6 years. The rub for a lot of people when cuts have to be made, that's, you know, it's nobody likes to see that happen.
Absolutely not.
So that part of the recommendation that came from the city manager includes cuts. Can you speak a little bit to what's on the table there?
Yes. And forgive me because I'm not sure that I remember all of them. But, but one in particular was the DARE program. And that's an important program and a valuable program. And I those cuts were not made lightly.
No.
And, you know, the budget committee took it seriously and discussed it and agreed to, in essence, to the recommendation by the city manager. And that last evening, we took votes and to add things back in, and they all failed.
So that was Monday night?
No, that was back in May. I believe it was May 8th. May 8th. It was Wednesday. I have to look at the
calendar. So the vote was to add things back in that had been cut and that failed.
Yes, it did.
So what then was brought to the city council this past Monday?
Yes. So this past Monday, what was brought was the budget that the city manager presented. And they had the discussion about whether or not to add things back in. And I, if I understand correctly, they voted the council because they have the ability. Just because it comes to them as a recommendation doesn't mean they have to take the recommendation.
Right, of course.
And they voted as a council. They felt that it was important that those programs be back added back in. So,
Here's my citizen that I don't know the process. You know, if you're running, you said dipping into $4 million, dipping in, are we running a deficit at this point?
Yes.
So how is that fiscally responsible to add more programs in if we're running a deficit?
That was my question to the council.
Was there a good answer?
There really wasn't any answer.
Any answer?
No.
You think about this, from every person who runs a household has to have a budget and has to balance the budget. I mean, if you're running in a deficit, pretty soon you're going to get into some serious trouble. So as a city, I mean, you've got a budget in the millions and millions and millions of dollars. Where are we now then if we had voted in? How do we make up for that budget deficit, I guess? Were there suggestions for that?
Yes, there are suggestions for that. And that was the work session that took place this past Monday evening. And that was when City Council had a work session. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the recommendations that came from the Sustainable Revenue Task Force, of which I was a part of also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that task force then, is this a separate group? You're on it, but there's some other individuals that are on it as well.
Yes,
it was. So some more different inputs and opinions and
yes,
expertise.
Yes, it was a very diverse group of citizens. And I've commented on this numerous times in that the age range had to have been from the youngest one was probably mid-20s.
Wow.
Well into 60s, in myself and the mayor, and a good cross-section of our community as well.
Who have different priorities and different needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all about compromising in that point, right?
It sure is. And and there was, and we met, I think, 7 or 8 times, beginning back, I believe it was October, November, we started those meetings. And what the city had done was put together the various options for raising revenue, mm-hmm. or another way of saying that is raising your taxes.
Exactly.
Revenue just seems so much nicer, doesn't it?
Yes. But it really is raising taxes.
Yes. And we went through those just piece after piece after piece, through the lens of equity.
Yeah.
Through the lens of businesses and utilities, and is it really feasible? And came up with basically 3 recommendations for the city council to consider, with one caveat.
So what are the 3 that you can speak to?
So if I can remember correctly, one was a gas tax, which cannot go towards the general fund. And what we're looking at is a deficit in the general fund.
Right.
Okay. Right.
But the gas tax can't go towards
it can't. But it can go to other things that perhaps could come out of the general fund that fall into that. But I won't go there.
Okay.
That's fuzzy. That's very fuzzy. one was an operating tax, and one was a an employee
payroll.
Tax. Yes, thank you. Thank
operating
you.
Tax would be levied on businesses?
Yes, everybody, I think.
Yeah, and then the employee payroll tax, so everybody who works in the city of Salem would have a tax. Interesting. One of the things I hear a lot is we have buildings in this state. We're the capital, obviously, so we've got state buildings. Much, much real estate is taken up with that doesn't pay any taxes, so right. I'm assuming that factored in to that as well, because that's always been a shortfall for the city.
Yes, it has been. And there's the talk that we have a lot of folks who come into the city to work, mm-hmm. who don't live here, and then they exit. And so they're using services while they're here. There's roads, there's, water, whatever. Mm-hmm. And somehow capturing that.
Isn't that taxation without representation?
If they I don't know.
Don't have a chance to vote on that. Just throwing that out there.
That idea, though,
of taxing people that come into town to work.
Well, just the payroll tax.
Covers of the 3, which one you think? Gas tax, operating tax, payroll tax. What's your favorite?
there's already a gas tax.
Well, just after talking to Rhett Bowles last, there's going to be more and more gas tax. I mean,
I know,
grief.
Right?
At some point, people say, uncle, and I just have no more to give. Yeah. So that brings me to a question, too. These recommendations, now they go before the council.
Yes.
So a decision will be made, which one, all 3, 1 or 2?
Yes, correct.
And then do they then go, does the council vote on this and just decide, or do they put it out for the voters to decide?
So of the 3, and if I understand correctly, there is only one that would have to go to the voters, and that's by state statute, and that's the gas tax.
The gas tax? Okay.
Would have to go to the voters. So here again, they would have a voice in that one. The other 2 do not.
That's interesting because the mayor mentioned that payroll tax. We all, Brent and I also agree that the payroll tax kind of covers the entire base of the working that come in to, mm-hmm. the, like you said, because a lot of those public buildings are not on the payroll.
Right, right.
They're not paying taxes. Correct. So why not get it from all the payroll? But the mayor was like, yes, you could do that, but I insist that it goes to the voters.
Well, and if
it should go to the voters.
Correct.
Any tax should go to the voters.
Yes. And if I could go back to the recommendations from the Sustainable Revenue Task Force, the caveat.
Yeah.
Oh, right. There was a caveat.
There was a caveat.
We forgot the caveat.
Yes. And everybody seems to have forgotten that, was that they be referred to the voters,
yes.
even
right.
though they did
mm-hmm.
not need to be,
yes.
you know, by law. They don't have to be. That we really, truly take this opportunity to educate and have the general public understand what we're up against.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is absolutely only fair. And when you talk about transparent government, I mean, every other time we've got the city of Salem has gone out, the police bond, things like
yes.
that. One of the things is don't lump too many issues together. Keep the issues very separate and distinct. It makes it better and easier for people to understand because there's a lot coming at them. But also, yeah, these things should be, I think people are kind of tired of being ruled by edict. It's like, let us have a say in this.
Exactly. Yes. All right. Time for a break.
Okay.
Denise Quinn is our guest host in for Brent today. I'm Dave Bourne, and sitting with us is Raquel.
Raquel Moore Green, Budget Committee member.
There you go.
Yeah.
For the city of Salem. We'll be back with more on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent is off today, and sitting in is Denise Quinn. She's guest hosting today for Brent. And sitting with us is Raquel Moore Green, Citizens Budget Committee member?
Committee member.
Wow. Long title. Ward 3.
Thank you.
All right.
And we are discussing all things budget with the City of Salem. So when we last spoke before the break, we were talking about the Revenue Task Force recommendations, kind of where we go. You were mentioning off air that it was a very diverse group of people
yes.
talking about it, you know, age-wise, and which is a good thing because Salem
Excellent.
Is a diverse town. I mean, there's
sure.
lots of different thoughts, ideas, ways of people believe in things and priorities and things like that. So that's good. So, okay, so now we're at, the recommendations have been made. They've been presented, or they will be presented.
No, the recommendations were presented.
Were presented.
Yes, and there was a work session back in March where the members of the Revenue Task Force were able actually to sit at the table with the counselors and mm-hmm. have the discussion of what was being recommended, and it was an excellent discussion. And then so that was March, and mm-hmm. then council came back this past Monday mm-hmm. for a work session to specifically understand what the recommendations are. You know, really, what is the root? You know, what is the bridge that we're trying, the gap that we're trying mm-hmm. to fill? And I believe it's about $16 million over the next 5 to 10 years.
Mm.
So, what does that look like? You always hear when bond measures go out, it's the price of a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's not going to take that much out. What does it look like to the average Salemite?
Yeah,
you know, how's that going to hit the pocketbook? Depending?
So if I understood correctly, one of the mechanisms, the operating fee, which would be tagged onto your water bill, because that's the easiest way to collect the fee,
mm-hmm.
much like the streetlight fees that
right.
we're currently paying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I believe in order to raise right around $11.5 million, it was about $14.
Per household?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, $14.
Per month.
Per month. Per household.
Yes.
I think you're right on that. So, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot. And now I'm going to put my citizen hat back on, who feels I'm kind of taxed a lot. And that's one more thing on there. Is there optimism from the city council, the budget committee, that this actually will succeed if it goes out to the voters?
This is one that doesn't go out to the voters, right?
Well, no. The caveat, though, was that all of them would, assuming that is agreed to.
Right. Well, the Revenue Task Force did not make any recommendations
okay.
on the amount to be raised. What they looked at were the various options on how to raise revenue.
Mm-hmm.
and what seemed to be the most equitable. And mm-hmm. there was a lot of time spent on that,
yeah.
because there's a great understanding of combined households, single mm-hmm. Led households.
Fixed income, fixed elderly.
Yes. And apartment dwellers,
right.
just
right.
A huge diversity, you know.
So it can get kind of tricky. Like, again, so the mechanism to do that would be on the water bill. So from a renter's perspective, the landlord would get that. That would trickle down into
Absolutely.
Probably raised rents and
One
things
would,
like that.
One would presume so, yes.
Fixed income, that's always the concern. People yes. that are on Social Security, I mean, how do you add one more thing? And then you're having to make tough choices. And again, we're kind of in an atmosphere this year, 2019, where there seems to be kind of, people are kind of getting hit from all sides.
Right.
But that doesn't negate the fact that this needs to be dealt with.
Exactly.
So at this point, it's going to go before the council. July
8th.
And so decisions will be made at that meeting.
That is my understanding, yes.
Is there anything, if someone who's listening to this, Salem taxpayer who has a comment, who doesn't like it, who loves it, who thinks it's great, who, wants to pay more or whatever, you never know with people. Yeah. I mean, what would you suggest they do to make sure that their voices are heard?
Well, there's always coming down to council and, mm-hmm. and testifying, on Monday evening. And, of course, an email is probably the easiest and most efficient way mm-hmm. to communicate. And just, send it to your city councilor via email and let them know how you feel about it,
Yeah, it's important for people. People are finally getting a little bit more politically active. A lot of times people just kind of sit back. Well, I hired them. Right. I elected them. I'm going to let them do that. There, in some other areas of government, there's been some overreach and people are starting to wake up and realize it's actually a partnership.
Yes.
You need to be communicating. They can't read your mind.
Right.
They don't know. It tends to be when people go down there, the ones that show up mm-hmm. are the ones that drive policy in many instances because, as a budget committee person, you can't read my mind. I need to tell you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm exactly. hoping that people, listening to this will take that. We, we talk about local government being closest to the people and affecting you the most because this is directly going to affect your family budget.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to point out that the council decided to add back in programs that were cut.
Yeah.
I know they take this seriously, but it's hard to understand how it is when you don't have the money that you're going to add.
Yeah.
Because you can add anything back in at any point you want along the line.
And really, municipal government should be dealing pretty basic things.
Yes.
So when you have councillors with certain agendas that want certain programs added back in, you talk about they're sort of niche programs, perhaps.
Yes.
So when you're looking at the deficit that we're looking at, to me, the responsible thing to do is sort of get down to as bare bones as you can. And sometimes those things hurt.
Yes, absolutely.
But at this point, looking at the deficits that we're facing, we're now not running parallel. We're staring up the abyss.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're heading toward the cliff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those programs that the city should, Mayor and I have talked about that, that they shouldn't be involved in, that are not really, their main job is fire, police, and running city infrastructure,
yes.
the roads,
yes.
and water and sewer and all that stuff. That's the main gist of what the city of Salem should be dealing with,
yeah, right.
not providing, soccer clubs for the parks and things like that, because there's lots of private ones that can do that, probably better.
Right.
And not waste the money.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of good intentioned, mm-hmm.
Sure, I agree.
And
but...
heartfelt, people out there who feel that the city should be doing more. But when you stop and you think about what is the role of a
right.
municipality,
yeah.
it's typically to do the things that you can't do from the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And when you stop and you think about public safety, which your fire and your police, mm-hmm. that really does not work well in from the private sector. Nor do the transportation and
right.
and the sewer and the water. And I've always been of the opinion or the thought that those are the essential services, and anything else should really be scrutinized. Mm-hmm. Do we have the money?
Right.
Yeah.
That would be the first question. Do we have the money for it?
And right. you speak about good intentions. You're absolutely right. I mean, the focus seems to have broadened and broadened. The scope of what the city government is trying to do seems has gotten very, very, very global, for lack of a better term. And to me, that's that sort of scope creep. I mean, it really needs to be reined back into what you were talking about. What are essential services? What is the role of a city government? And it isn't necessarily to try to affect change nationally.
Correct.
Internationally, it's really to work on the issues that are facing the city of Salem. And that's why I think city councilors are elected. And I think when they stray from that, I think we get into budget issues where we're having to cut. It's just gotten too big.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
So, well, hopefully, you know, sometimes you have to make those tough choices, and voters hopefully will have a say in this.
Right, right. And I do think that they should, you know, anybody who's listening who, wants to express their opinion, please do, because it's important that the councilors hear. If you support the increases, you don't support the increases, you want the voters to have an opportunity. And that's really where I'm coming from, because coming out of that revenue task force, that was the main recommendation, aside from the actual, you know, mechanisms, was go to the voters, make your case. I mean, you can, you know, it's the city has been able to make their case on successfully many times.
Yes.
I mean, streets and bridges. I mean, mm-hmm. comes to mind. The library, the police station. You know, they have the ability to do that. And when you get buy-in from the community, everybody's happier.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and I really feel city council, for this sort of revenue that they're looking for, needs to have a community discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Agree.
We all need to be involved in that.
Yes.
And I like that task force, as diverse and just across the board, came up, and they all came to that same decision you all did, and felt that that was critical and so important, and communicated that to the council.
I mean, it was a real delight. It was a hard, hard task, but it was good work, and it was good people.
Excellent. Nice.
All right. Well, Raquel Moore Green.
Thanks, Raquel. So good to talk to you.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good information, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. This is Newsmakers. Denise Quinn is sitting in as guest host. We'll be back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Hamblin's Nursery. And if you don't get out to Hamblin's Nursery right away to get those hanging baskets, they close. As soon as they sell them out, they're gone.
And I hear they've been selling like gangbusters out there.
Yes, he added two new greenhouses to grow more, and they're almost out again.
Because they are spectacular.
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 If you haven't checked it out, do it. Denise Quinn is joining me as guest host today. I'm Dave Bourne. Brent is off enjoying a graduation.
Gallivanting.
Yeah, graduation present with his son.
He's been off like three times in a month.
What? No, he hasn't.
That's a nice
working
kid.
Working harder, hardly
he leaves
working.
A lot.
You know, you can do that when you're the main host. Also joining us is Mitch Graff of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. And opening weekend was last
weekend. Opening weekend. Yeah. Actually, they opened seven games in a row beginning last week.
Yeah, right.
And it's last night, so we're all kind of running on fumes. But I tell you, what an experience we had. Last weekend, we had huge crowds, a lot of fun fans having a great time at the stadium. This week, the weather's been a little bit breezy, a little bit cooler at night. Mm-hmm. But we're looking forward to a few days off to get geared up and loaded for Bear for next week when the Hops come to town.
Ooh, that ought to be
good. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But yeah, the nice thing about all these things we've been talking about the last 6 months, the changes and the mindset and just the different attitudes, we've been able to kind of see the results of a lot of our thought process and the work we put in the off season. Yeah. And the response has been overwhelmingly positive. However, there's been a few glitches, a couple of hiccups.
Really?
And we need to know those. Mm-hmm. When we hear, whether it be a burger that wasn't produced to the best of its ability, whether it be that a line that moved too slow in tickets, whatever it was, we need to hear those so that we can say, all right, how can we make the system better?
Continuous
how can we
improvement.
Automate it? Make sure it's efficient so that that fan experience is absolutely the best that it can be.
So we're giving out your cell phone then?
We are giving my cell phone.
Are
absolutely.
We really?
Are you
yes,
really?
Give me your phone. Let me see what your number is, Dave. No,
boy, that's customer service.
We do welcome that feedback, positive and negative. I need to hear it all because we can't make corrections unless somebody says, let me tell you about my experience. Mm-hmm. And I need to hear those. I mean, so it's kind of weird for someone to invite that, but I do. That's how we improve. And if we had no room for improvement, there'd be no reason to come to work every day.
Right.
So, yeah, I absolutely welcome it. It's just volcanoes@volcanoesbaseball.com. There you go. That's how transparent we want to be and how much we want to make sure that fan experience is the best it can be.
Volcanoes@volcanoesbaseball.com.
That's right. I have to go. I have to go get some positive comments back. I'll tell you, social media, we have Chris from Third River Marketing has volunteered his time after hours to be our social media director.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on Twitter. He's on Instagram. He's doing Facebook. He's actually there live tweeting, live posting during the games
during the game.
The press box, which is phenomenal.
Nice.
And the amount of reaction that we're getting from the fans, just maybe hundreds and thousands of shares and views and likes, and magic is happening
that's
on social
cool.
media. And that's where the world is today. You know, you got to be out there. And if you're not, you kind of get left behind. Talking earlier about taxes and revenues
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
the turn back the clock, we came up with a promotion. And this is for next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday when the Hops come to town. It's called Pack the Park.
Okay.
$5, all GA tickets for
general admission.
General admission, in which we have thousands of those. We have, you can sit in the bleachers, you can sit in the grass, you can sit
there's
in the
not
picnic
a bad
tables. There really isn't.
There
it's a nice stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing $5 tickets. All you got to do is go to the website, volcanoesbaseball.com. And when you check out, you put in the code Pack the Park. That's it, it's simple. Or you just show up and say, hey, I'm here for Pack the Park. I got this coupon. And these coupons are going to be available at all of our marketing partners around town.
Okay.
You can stop in KYKN, and they'll be at the front counter. You can call the office.
Social media.
Social media all over the place. So we want the community to not have the obstacle of price, if that is a consideration. We want to remove that. Come on out. Enjoy the community. Enjoy the family and the friends and the kids and everything. Tuesday is free military night. All you have to do is show your driver's license. It says veteran on your driver's mm-hmm. license. You and your immediate family get in for free. Free.
Oh, wow.
That's Tuesday.
Okay.
Wednesdays from 5:30 to 6:30 is dollar hot dogs. And Thursday from 5:30 to 6:30 is dollar draft beers. All that in addition to this $5 thing. We want people to come out, experience the wonder all over again at the stadium, check out the food, check out the improvements we made, and just hang out with family and friends, have a good time.
That's awesome. What a community yeah. partner you guys are. I mean, really, just partnering up and inviting people to come in. And what better way to spend a summer evening than a baseball game?
And we
right?
should be. I mean, yeah. we're the only professional sports in the Mid-Valley. We need to be that shining light on the hill.
And
we
you
really
are.
Do.
I mean,
lead
you
by
are.
Example.
And really striving, like you said earlier, wanting to know the good and the bad and the ugly, because that's how you improve.
Absolutely.
And to get that feedback. You know, kudos to you for that. That's wonderful.
In 23 seasons, I mean, there's yeah. a lot of wonderful stories that ballpark has to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
And every day I hear more from the stadium itself and from the fans, whether they're new fans or 23-year-old fans that have been there since day one. There's some incredible memories that have been created there. And she's got character. That stadium's got so much character.
She.
The ballpark. Come on.
Yeah. Ballparks are she's.
Mm-hmm.
This
well,
one
when
feels,
you're male working there.
Yeah. I mean, this one, it's a tender ballpark. It's got wonderful assets.
Yeah.
Pink chairs. It's never going to be red again.
Nope.
Doesn't matter. That's part of the character and the personality.
Exactly.
When you come there, you can feel it. You become one with the people that are there. The energy has been fantastic. People are having a great time out there. The team is actually in first place. Did I mention that? We're in first place.
Are they all housed?
We are still too short.
Okay.
And there's more draft picks coming to town almost every day now.
That I heard
we
the
still
ad about
have,
what a unique opportunity for people in Salem.
Yeah.
And Kaiser.
Ed Kaiser. So, yeah.
Right.
I'm from Salem.
Transportation, and that seems to be one of the main obstacles, the stumbling blocks, is I can't get the kid to the ballpark every day. We don't want that to be the reason that you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
This really is a calling bigger than yourself. This is doing something for your community.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a private bedroom, fixings for breakfast. You don't have to make it for them. You just have to have the stuff that they can make a breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you have the ability to get them to the ballpark and from the ballpark, or a car that you are willing to loan, mm-hmm. if it's someone that has a U.S. driver's license, that's up to you. But there's also kids that have cars that will carpool and pick up their buddies. So we just need people that have big hearts, that have a room, and the fixings for breakfast. You get two season tickets out of this thing.
That's a lot.
That's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's a very cool thing. And you just call the office and we can get you in touch with Judy, who's the one that takes care of this.
And what's the phone number?
The number is 503-390-2225. Judy is the person you'll leave a message for. And the other thing I want to talk about real briefly is the military nights. The first one was last week. We had National Guard out there. We had people all left and right. This next Tuesday, I guarantee it's going to be probably 5 to 10 times bigger because this is a new program. We paired with Griffles, Richard Platt over at Griffles. We paired with them for the first time ever to have military nights. And because of them, military gets in free. Mm. Griffles, which it's the blood donation place downtown.
Okay.
And it's for plasma. Uh-huh. They don't do for the blood. It's for plasma. And they were founded back in World War II for the soldiers that were injured. So it's a great pairing.
Perfect partnership.
Volcanoes. Absolutely. Volcanoes and Griffles. And they're going to be there on Tuesday with their information, how you can give blood and give back to the community, as well as all the veterans getting in for free. It's a big deal. It really is a big deal.
So. Sure. And then you were mentioning also there's other nights that the kids 12 and under are free. That's on Mondays.
Every Sunday is senior night. We're not going to be a Sunday for a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, but
yeah, if you're 60 or over, all you have to do is go to any participating PT Northwest. They have vouchers that says free ticket. Come to the park, you get a free ticket. Monday, 12 and under is free. All you have to do is go to any of the 13 local Salem Kaiser McDonald's. The same guy owns all of them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They give you a little voucher, and you bring it to the stadium. You get a free ticket. There's no reason why people should not come to the ballpark at least once.
Yeah.
And once they come once, we are so confident that they're going to have a great time and say, God, we got to come back here. And then we have 5-game plans. We got 10-game plans. We got half season. You can come just on weekends. There's no reason that you should not come and be part of the community. I know we all have busy summers. We all do.
But what a great break.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to be there every day, but you guys don't.
Just kind of have one of the coolest jobs around.
It kind of is, yeah. If you come half a dozen times during the summer, it's just a chance to get the kids to stretch their legs and everything. And, next week's a big deal. Pack the park Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. $5 general admission tickets, $1 beers, $1 hot dogs, free military. Hello!
Right.
And the weather's probably going to be gorgeous.
Let me take a shirt off my back. Let me see if I can get this right here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So do you have all your national anthem singers? I think the last time I spoke to you, you were doing auditions. Are all the slots filled? We got great singers out there?
I believe we still have a very limited number. Okay. Most of them are filled, but I know that Howie is absolutely looking for some more talented
people.
Okay,
so anyone who's always wanted to sing the national anthem in a ballpark. I mean,
we've had some great ones so far. Yeah. We've got a few days off, but we would love to have people call the office and say, hey, I want to sing a national anthem.
Awesome.
I think Brent was talking about auditioning.
He talks a lot about it. I haven't seen him down there yet. Let him keep on talking. He's not here, so we can talk about him.
That fan appreciation night, you held. I was the fan fest. I was there, and they were doing the auditions, and I heard several good ones.
Very good. Very good.
All right.
There's lots of talent.
We have literally 1 minute left.
And the games are on KYKN, of course, at 6 p.m.
And streamed, too.
Payne Patchett, yes. And we're having
I heard him the other night. He's
huge
awesome.
Listenership. Yes. Like, incredible. Enough to get your owner's attention. Like, hey, these are some big numbers here. Mm-hmm. The good news is that starting tomorrow, the pregame show, we're going to kind of stretch it out. Whatever time the start is, if he needs to do some more interviews, we're talking in-depth interviews with the players. Where are you from? How did you grow up? Who were your idols when you were growing
up? Extremely engaging.
What's your favorite food? Right. Mm-hmm. We want to learn about the players that come play for us, however short that is, whether it be for 2 weeks or a whole season. We want to tell their stories. And Payne is going to do some in-depth interviews to kind of fill that hour up, because people at 6 o'clock are tuning in. They expect us to be there at 6 o'clock. And we're going to give it to them.
Absolutely.
So. Great.
He's Mitch Graff. He's the president of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. And thanks, Denise Quinn, guest hosting today for the Vacationing Brent. I'm Dave Bourne. This is Newsmakers, and we'll see you on Monday.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.